Time now for trends and products, and this week the product is beer and the trend is for organic beer. To tell us about that, I'm joined in our Melbourne studio by David Bonighton, brewer with Mountain Goat Beer, and in our Newcastle studio by Ian Partland, managing director of Steel River Brewery. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
G'day, Alan. How are you?
Hi. Ian, let me start with you. Australia's a big beer-drinking country, but what's wrong with the beer most of us are drinking now?
Well, technically nothing. The big brewers have world-class facilities, highly educated staff, but I think it's what they do and what their intention is with that facility, and that is to make a beer as cheaply as possible and use their marketing power and their labels to generate sales.
And one of the things you've criticised are high sugar adjunct beers. What does that mean?
Well, the ethanol we make in the brewing process originally came from malted barley, and it still does. But it is far cheaper, of course, to use other forms, cheaper forms of carbohydrate to make the alcohol. And in Australia, the standard for most of our mainstream beers is to add a very large amount of sugar syrup.
Right, so that sugar syrup in place of barley or as well as barley?
As well as, but it does have a deleterious effect on the flavour. It is really designed to make the beer cheaper rather than better.
Right, and what does it do to the flavour?
It lessens the flavour, but also adds its own undesirable characteristics, I suppose. It has a high fructose level in white sugar, and fructose doesn't naturally occur in malt to any great degree at all, so it's a different sort of chemical profile that you get and flavour profile from that.
Well, Ian, how long have smaller organic breweries like yours been on the scene here?
Just a short while. I think Mountain Goat was one of the first to get accredited as an organic brewery. We've had our accreditation now for about 18 months, and but apart from us two, there are very few people sort of going that step and making organic beer.
Well, what about you, David Bonighton? How did Mountain Goat get started? And before we go there, let's just ask about this accreditation. Who's doing the accrediting?
Yeah, the certification process and the method to become certified organic is quite a long process, and we're actually certified by a body called the Biological Farmers of Australia, which is based in Queensland. And what they do is they come down and they have a look at our plant, our brewery, and they have a look at at the process, the machines, the mash tun, the mill, all these things that we need to use to create beer, and make sure that we're not doing anything in our process that makes the beer inorganic. And once they've done that, they then take a step back and say, well, here are your inputs, here's your malt, your hops and your yeast as well. Are these products also organically grown? And so it's quite a long, I mean, it took us about 3 months because we were the first brewery back in 2002 to become certified organic.
So how did you get started? I mean, what gave you the idea of getting into this?
Into beer first. I lived and studied in the US for a couple of years in my university days, but being a curious university student, I was keen on drinking new and different beers, I guess. And the beer that really excited me were from these little craft brewers or micro brewers who were going back to the way beer used to be made. It was 100% malt. It was real hops, locally grown or specially grown and designed for these special craft beers. And I just became enchanted with the way hops and malt and fermentation created beer, and how you could mix different types of malt, different types of hops from all around the world, and create these magnificent flavours. And Ian spoke earlier about the big breweries in Australia, and I'd come from Australia at the time. I left it when I was 18 or 19, and I just started drinking beer. And a beer to me at that time was just a yellow, fizzy, relatively bland drink. But when I got into craft beer, there were amber ales and India pale ales and wheat beers, and I just became really passionate about that. So that's where the fire started, I guess, to start this business.
And you were originally using borrowed facilities.
Yes.
So how did you start your own brewery? And is the work labour intensive?
It's very labour intensive for us, for sure. We don't have huge amounts of capital to buy bottling machines. You can imagine most beer is drunk at home in a stubby, and it takes quite a lot of effort to get 330 mils into a stubby, capped, labelled into a six pack, into a box, onto a pallet, and then out to a bottle shop or whatever. So it's definitely a very hard part for us.
A question to both of you. How difficult is it to source sufficient organically grown barley and hops? Ian?
We're finding it quite difficult, primarily because we're trying to bring organic beer down to a price where the everyday drinker can afford it. At the moment, with the drought from the last few years, the organic growers are struggling to get the quality we need for malting barley. And secondly, they are wanting a very high price for the sort of substandard product that they are growing. So it's not an easy exercise. We're looking to contract a few growers for next season to fill that gap.
David, are you finding it difficult too?
Yeah, exactly the same as and I'd love to speak to you, Ian, about contracting some barley growers as well after this. Another thing is hops. I mean, hops are very hard to grow organically as well. And the New Zealanders are growing a lot of them. But once you design a beer one year and you're banking on a hop crop coming through, if that hop crop doesn't happen for one reason or another, you then have to adapt and change your beer after that. So that's an annual challenge for us to keep ahead of how each hop crop is going.
Ian, you brew in accordance with the Reinheitsgebot. What is that and why does it matter?
Ah, that's an old German brewing tradition and which became law in the 1800s, I believe, which required all breweries in Germany to use just four ingredients, which was malted barley, water, hops, and yeast. That did go back to the Bavarians. I think Ludwig in about the 1300s had the idea of making this a requirement as the quality of their beer had a lot of variation and wasn't really up to scratch. So there are some arguments that by the time it was legislated in the 1800s, it was really a trade embargo to support the local German breweries. But what it meant was that Germans became famous for the quality of their beer.
But all is not rosy in the world of small organic breweries, is it? Ian, tell us about the excise issue.
Well, I think the small brewers are generally at a big disadvantage through economy of scale and through market penetration that we can get compared with the mainstream brewers. They have certainly a lot of advantages financially over us. In the wine industry, that's also the same, but most of the small wine producers effectively pay no excise at all due to successful lobbying by the Macquarie Street vignerons, really, who have managed to put an initial threshold of volume before excise is levied. We don't have that luxury in the beer industry, and certainly the big brewers really wouldn't want to lobby the government on behalf of the small brewers. So it is a high expense. Excise is the most expensive part of making a case of beer.
David, you're keen to reduce the environmental impact of your brewery.
Yes.
What are the issues that need to be addressed here?
I guess water use is one. We use between 4.5 and 5.5 litres of water to make every litre of beer, which isn't bad if you're a little guy. So we look at other ways we can save our water. One of those is reusing our cooling water and our heating water, so we can then brew with that water we've already used once, or then clean with it after that. We've installed rainwater tanks in our brewery in Richmond, and we flush all the toilets with the rainwater. We have a bar there in our spot as well, and there's all the timber was reclaimed from there, so there's nothing that's new. We pay all our brewers to ride their bike to work rather than drive to their car. So it's a whole of business approach, I guess, and the organic thing is part of that. A while ago, there was an option before Australian barley growers were actually growing organic barley. There was an option to get German organic malt. But I mean, what's the point of getting German organic malt and having all those food miles on it, and then making an organic malt? So we're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Is this a concern for you as well, Ian Partland?
Yes, I think we'd all like to have a lower energy footprint, and certainly beer is a fairly energy intensive product to make. So we've actually located right across the road from the CSIRO Energy Centre here in Newcastle, and we've spoken to them about ways we can reduce our energy consumption. They've suggested we look at cogeneration plants so we can use natural gas, which is a far less greenhouse generating product, and we would get a lot of steam as a byproduct of generating our own electricity from that process, and use that in the heating, which is an expensive part of making beer too.
Well, details of the organic beers we've been talking about on our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. David Benighton and Ian Partland, cheers, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Alan. Cheers.
Coming up soon on By Design, a new design school in WA and Singapore. But next, your letters.